Hello, and thanks for downloading another episode of the Lions Roar podcast. This week, we'll have highlights from the visit of Dover. The Vixens took on Wolves women in the Women's Premier League, and the Academy faced another local derby at Fort Nethermore in the shape of Farsley Celtic. We've also got an interview with Steve Taylor, who's the new Community Foundation manager. We'll also hear from Paul Cox, Glenn Preston, and Nicky Burko. So we'll start with Paul Cox's second home game in charge of the Lions. Coming off three consecutive draws, Guiseley played host to Dover, second in the league only on goal difference and having beaten Chester 4-0 the previous week. A tall order perhaps for the Lions then. Commentary here from Nick Keefe and Colin Robertson.
Good move here from Guiseley towards the edge of the area. Odijayi trying to win it. John Rooney trying to get loose ball. Rooney takes a shot, deflects off the crossbar behind for a goal kick. Rooney slams his fist into the ground in frustration. But the ball into the box, Odijayi managed to get it down and out of his feet into John Rooney on the right-hand side. His shot was always rising, but just clipped the top of the crossbar as it went over. Correa out to Lawler, back into the box. Odijayi is a target man, battling to try and win it. Correa on the edge of the area, gets underneath it, drills the ball over the bar, takes a deflection. He took it on the half volley. Molyneux will take this corner on the right-hand side as we attack the Dover goal. Whipped in towards the edge of the six-yard box, headed by Odijayi, tipped over by the goalkeeper. Corner again to Guiseley. Good delivery from Molyneux. Good presence there from Coyote Odijayi. Goalkeeper on hand to make sure it doesn't go in. Up in the air now, up towards Odijayi, who's being tugged back by Parry. Referee gives the free kick and makes a very clear shape that he thought that Parry was holding on to Odijayi on the edge of the 18-yard box. He's in dangerous position, this, just to the left of the D. Four-man wall in front of John Rooney. White shirts, five white shirts in the box as well, looking for any scraps. Rooney hits it, takes a deflection, it's got in! Guiseley take the lead. John Rooney hit it through the wall. It took a deflection off the wall, flighted well past Mitch Walker, who was following the original trajectory of the ball. The Lions lead, Guiseley won, Dover nil.
Well, that's unbelievably poor defending. I was just looking at the wall and I wondered whether to say something just in the run-up. There was four men in the wall and there was an obvious sort of foot of gap in between the middle two. And then just as Rooney ran up, I don't know who the player was, but the one who was making the gap nudged the guy to his left to move out, thinking that Rooney was going to go curl it around the edge of the wall, but actually just widened the gap and Rooney's ball went straight through it and deflected into the goal.
Free kick to
Guiseley. It was a good shot as well.
Yeah. Rooney from this left flank curls this in towards the back post. Up goes Jake Lawler! Scrambled away off the line! Guiseley still can't get it over. It's eventually helped away there by Daniel Cadell, deep in his own half. But a great save there, it has to be said, from Mitch Walker from point blank range, as Jake Lawler's header at the back post was goal bound. Goal kick taken by Green up towards Odijayi. He flicks it on. Correa chasing. Correa collides with Galifuoco and then he's gone down and I think he's shaking his hand as if he's just pulled or twisted his ankle. So Martin Stringfellow will come on.
That was your textbook innocuous injury out of a nothing situation. Looks like something to do with his left leg that Martin's having a look at. I think they're calling for a stretcher actually. Yeah, oh, stretchers coming on.
That's really harsh. I mean, I have to say, Raul Correa, he didn't necessarily initially impress the home crowd here when he's made his introduction, but at Wrexham last week we saw a completely different player, and I think in this first 35 minutes today we've seen what he's capable of, but he's clearly not going to take part in this game any further. Stretcher on, hopefully back in the fray soon, but applause around the ground as he goes off. Guiseley will have to make a change, an enforced change. And it's going to be Reece Thompson. Dover get the ball into the Lions' half and on the right-hand side, just up from the corner flag. It'll be returned into the field of play from Dover. They've just rejected the option to go short with the throw and they'll return it to this long ball into the box, which can be so effective. It's up there, headed away. Back post at the edge of the area, rather. Norte collects. He gets a shot away, takes a deflection. Still not cleared by Guiseley. Brundle, he's kept it live into Cadell on that left flank. Then a shot comes in, an equaliser from Dover. Super strike. One of them had to come off, and it's come from Norte. and he's equalised on 39 minutes, and it's now Geise 1, Dover 1.
Well, Geise were fast asleep, actually, after the restart of play. Concentration gone, intensity dropped. Absolute sucker punch. Fair play to Dover for taking advantage of it.
Some of that throw-in for Geise. This time about level with the edge of the 18-yard box, so perhaps one last chance to get the ball in the box and have one more opportunity in this half. Danny East actually looks like he's going to step back to the hoardings, maybe try and get as much length on this as he can. Not known for his long throws, I don't think, Danny East, but he gets a decent one into the box. It's taken a deflection, taken a flick. There's a big shout for a handball. Referee's given a corner, but John Rooney's talking to the referee. But there was a, looked like there was an arm up in the air. Half-time here, Geise 1, Dover 1. Now East with this throw. He's looking for Reece Thompson, who runs down the right flank. He's attended to by Galifuoco, but he's got two on him now, but does well. Gets it back here. Danny East, cross into the box. Geise with a bit of pressure for a moment or two. Falls to Jake Lawler, whose shot skews well wide and is in the end comfortable. But Jake Lawler had to take that one, to be fair, on the first time on the edge of the 18-yard box. Now Geise have the ball with John Rooney. Plays it up towards Thompson. Thompson's got Essam ahead of him. Essam battling to win it. Thompson's taking it off him. Into the box. Gets a shot just past the upright. Thompson went for the near post. He had Hurst steaming in after doing ever so well to beat Essam to the ball. But in the end, he opted to shoot to the near post and he pulled it wide of the mark as the goalkeeper came out. Hurst perhaps the better option. But he'd created the opportunity himself. He just couldn't convert it. The final whistle blows. And it's a fourth draw in a row for the Lions under Paul Cox. He remains unbeaten as Geise manager. But will perhaps be very frustrated after taking a lead and looking dominant in the first half over Dover to switched off, allowed the visitors to grab what was an excellent equalising goal. And in the second half, as Dover grew, the Lions had to hold firm. And it's finished here. Geise 1, Dover 1.
I suppose one all fair result, balance of play today. It's a better result than we've been used to getting against Dover. It was a game of not too much excitement. It was attritional. The players worked pretty hard at staying compact and in formation. And without too much real pace or real quality on the ball to unlock the defences, it comes down to one mistake in the defensive wall and a fortuitous deflection. And one little period of switching off after the injury to Raul Correa really that brought about the two goals. Not a bad result at all for Geise by any means. They'll be much happier with the point than Dover will do, given their respective league table positions. But I rather suspect both teams, after the end of today, will go off feeling they could have done a little bit more and they could have possibly got themselves over the line to win all 3 points.
After the game, Colin caught up with Paul Cox.
Played a very, very good side. I don't know what it was, second or third in the table before the game, and rightly so. First half I thought was excellent, probably the best I've seen as a unit, and probably deserved to be probably 2-3 to the good. There's a learning curve in there. The concentration level, we switched off. Sort of deep into the first half and allowed the boy to the freedom of the park to pick his spot. But it was a great finish. Apart from that, I can't really remember Greeny having a real shot to save. But we're building. I think second half we lost our way a little bit, lost the momentum. But still looked like a team that would be very, very hard to beat. And you've got to give credit to Dover who came at us in the second half. Yeah, look, there's ingredients that we need to improve on. It depends on if your glass is half empty or half full, but four games unbeaten now. I inherited a team with the worst goal difference in the league, I think minus 17 or something like that. At the minute, we're becoming very, very hard to beat, but I want more. I think that we need to be greedy. I think we need to... I put the pressure on the boys now that we need to start winning games. And that might sound quite harsh, to where I picked the team up from, but I think we're capable of it. I think we played four teams now, all at different different levels in the league, and I don't think anyone's been better than us. So there's ingredients we need to improve on. There's, the squad needs to evolve now. I think it's time. We had 16 fit players today, so that tells you something. And we need to bring in some players that will complement and psychologically work the players that are in the 11 at the minute.
Obviously, we lost Raul Correa today. It looked like a nasty knock he took. He had to go off on the stretch. What's the early view of it?
Well, he's gone for a scan straight away. When I saw the actual fall, it reminded me, I've done my cruise ship twice, so it reminded me of a cruise ship. I hope it isn't. Because if I'm going to, there's one person that's really sort of made me sit up and take notice. It's Raul. I've had him for four games now, and I think the first half performance building into that, he was superb. He was everything that was good about us going forward. He was working them in behind, being big and strong, and he was understanding the talks we had about his DNA and what type of centre forward he is. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we can't afford any more injuries. So otherwise, I'll be playing next week. But hopefully, he's fine, and we don't lose him for too long.
So in terms of new faces, could we see some action across the next week ahead?
Yeah, I think now's the time. Not because we haven't won a game. I think the players have been absolutely superb. But I think now's the time. It's given me four games now to assess our strengths and assess our weaknesses. When I spoke to Stephen James, they want me to take the club forward. And I think now's the time to add players to the squad and to really put the cat amongst the pigeons with the players, because I mean, at the minute it's like an 11 that's picking itself at the minute. Now that's not good. That's not healthy for any team dynamics. So I want players that come in that are going to ask questions of the players that are in the 11, and you know, because I want a consistent team that wins. So look, we can always improve. You could be talking to me now. We could be top of the league, unbeaten in 10 games, and I'm going to still want more. And I'm really greedy to take this club forward. And to do that, like I say, I've got to bring players in to make this squad stronger. The whole squad's been giving me the all. But I want more. It's as simple as that.
Now it's two long trips down south, back to back. So some difficult away journeys now, and they'll be tough for us, won't they? Maidenhead, Maidstone.
Yeah. Our psychology is now, we respect any fixture that we go into in this league, because if you don't, it comes to bite you. What I want us to do now is to walk into any ground in our league, anyone we play, and have a respect, but to make sure that teams respect us and know what's coming. And like you say, for that to happen, we need to improve. There's 5 to 10% away now. There's a good shape about the side. There's a good mentality. Now that our next stage, our next phase is now is that 10% of when we get chances like we did today to kill teams off and to not give them that little, it was a 1% today, wasn't it? That little bit of time, a little bit of space, what you give good players and then you get punished. So I want more. I want more. I'm greedy. I want to take the club forward. So, I want us to have the personality and the mentality as a football club, that when we go places, people understand that, you know, if you're going to beat us, then you've got to work really, really hard. And we're not far away. But, you know, we are where we are after four games, and we haven't won a game for a reason. So it's up to me to make sure that's that problem solved.
So the Lions remain in the bottom four, but just 3 points away from safety now. Up next is a trip to Maidenhead United on Saturday, 30th of September. There's still spaces on the Supporters Club coach if you'd like to cheer on the boys. Just call Paul at the Supporters Club on 07518 445 861. 07518 445 861. Prices start from £24. Guiseley have recently launched its support for local charity GiveADuck. They are the nominated charity, and they're hoping to raise enough funds across the season to allow us to purchase 100 chemo ducks. They're soft toys that help children through the process of chemotherapy. The fundraising will take many different forms, but it's being supported by the whole club. That's the first team, the Vixens, the Academy, the Community Foundation, and even the Supporters Club, who have their own chemo duck that's following the Supporters Club around the country and will be present at the Maidenhead game on Saturday. There'll be a series of events and activities across the season to enjoy. Watch out for quiz nights, football tournaments, golf day, cake bakes, that sort of thing. It's helped along by Nuffield Health in Guiseley as well, who are also one of the club's sponsors. There'll be Supporters Club will have a collection tin on their disc. On their desk before in the clubhouse before all home matches. So if you're at Nethermore at any point over the season, stick some loose change in there as well. And if you would like more information about GiveADuck, you can go to giveaduck.org.uk. Follow them on Twitter, which is @giveaduck_UK, or search for GiveADuck UK on Facebook. Guiseley Vixens picked up a point on Sunday in a topsy-turvy 2-2 draw against Wolves Women, fellow league strugglers. The visitors to Fleet Lane found themselves ahead on 4 minutes. Leanne Robinson capitalising on a defensive mix-up to poke home the opener. The Vixens rallied, though, created some opportunities and might even have levelled before half-time when Fiona Wart's shot cannoned off the bar. Nikki Burko, a summer signing and last season's top scorer in Division 1 with Blackpool Wren Rovers, came on just after the hour and took just 5 minutes to open her account for the Vixens, pouncing on a loose ball in the box. Burko then turned the Wolves' defence inside out and produced a wonderful finish to put Glenn Preston's side ahead. Unfortunately, a well-taken free kick from Wolves' Laura McQuitlin found its way into the net with 10 minutes to go, and the Vixens had to hold out in the end. Guiseley's Beth Seisman producing a fine save from Jade Cross at the death to secure the Vixens' second point of the campaign. After the game, Oliver Coulthard caught up with Nikki Burko and Vixens manager Glenn Preston.
So, coming back from injury, it's not a bad return, is it? Two goals?
Yeah, a decent start, I guess. It's just been so frustrating because I haven't been able to get going. I've had little niggles and I've only played 25 minutes before today, so it's nice to get back playing and nice to get on the score sheet.
Was it a bit of a surprise to score two goals in that quickly coming on?
Yeah, I guess so. I try my best to score goals. Played in a team that last year didn't really create very much, so hopefully this season I'll get a load of chances, hopefully be able to convert some of them. So yeah, looking forward to it.
And so in terms of your own performance, it's pretty satisfying, but in terms of the team performance, I mean, should you got more out of the game, really?
I mean, if you break it down, we've had much more possession, we've had much more of the attacking play, we've had loads of chances, and unfortunately we haven't been able to convert. I guess it's been quite a tough start, people in and out, people being injured, people on holiday, so hopefully from now we can push on, we can stick together, we can get some more results.
Yeah, you're pretty confident if you can deliver that kind of performance consistently that the points will come?
Yeah, definitely, the quality's there, it's clear to see. I mean, every game that we've played so far we've had, apart from, I think, the Fylde getting more possession than the other team, it's just about creating the chances and converting, but I'm sure it'll come. Just need to be patient and stick together. So,
So Glenn, it's a 2-2 draw in the end. Is there a sense of frustration around the Guiseley camp?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I don't really know what to say. First sort of 20-30 minutes, they score again, first of all, in the first sort of 10 minutes of the game. And you can't legislate for conceding goals like what we've conceded today. That first goal is up there with one of the worst goals we've conceded. But it sets us on the back foot yet again, which is infuriating. But, you know, slowly we've come back into the game. For 20 minutes after that, 30 minutes, Wolves were tough to break down. But then towards the end of the first half, we're starting to open them up. And we created probably three pretty good and a couple of clear-cut openings at the end of the half. We absolutely had to score. The second half, it's literally all us. All us in the second half. I think, again, we've created three or four clear-cut chances in the first 20 minutes. Burko's come on and changed the game. She scored two sublime goals. And just, again, we've created chances. You'd be worried as a coach if you're not creating chances, but it shows when we bring someone on with a bit of quality that those chances get converted. And she's put two in, put us in front. And at that point, you're thinking, there's only us can win the game. They've had, when they go 2-2, they've had literally two shots on goal. Nothing, no play. Very little in our final third, two shots on goal. And so to be 2-2 is just unbelievable. And in fairness, they probably should have gone and won it in the end.
What was your view of the free kick, you know, that got them the second goal?
It's not a free kick, and nobody asked for a free kick. And you know what, even their members of their bench sort of implied they didn't know what it was for. Only the linesman thinks that it's a foul. So it's a free kick that they've scored to go 2-2 right on the edge of the box. So we can say it's a little bit of bad luck again. But that's just how it's going at the moment for us.
So do you think it's down to bad luck, or is there something else missing in your department?
It's a bit of both. I mean, we've had a lot of barriers against us for the success this season, whether it be injuries galore, absentees galore. But I think we ourselves have to look at what we're doing in the first 20 minutes of matches, because every single week we've conceded in the first 20 minutes are on the back foot. We then come alive. And you know what? In the second half of every single match I think we've played this season, we've more or less either dominated possession, dominated chances, and played teams off the park. But we're having to chase instead of being in control from the off. So that's where we really need to put our focus at the moment.
But would you say the elements are definitely there, you know, to carry on improving?
Yeah, look, you can see it. The encouraging signs are there. Against Borough in the second half, we absolutely annihilated them in the second half of that game. In the game that we played today, second half, it was all us, from apart from the last sort of 5-10 minutes where it was open, it was absolutely all us complete from start to finish. The Stoke game, we really took the game to them in that match, and fouled, we took the fight to them. So there's a lot of positives. It just feels a little bit sort of negative because we're not converting and putting points on the board that we absolutely should have done by now. I think we've had 50 shots on goal in the last two games, and we're coming away with like two goals, three goals. So that's the disappointing thing for us.
The Vixens then remain in 11th place in the WPL, and next up, unbeaten Blackburn Rovers at Bamber Bridge. That's on Sunday, the 1st of October. The Young Lions, unbeaten in the league, took on Farsley Celtic on Wednesday afternoon in Nethermoor and ran out 8-0 winners with a first-half hat-trick within 9 minutes from Albert Ibrahimi. Farsley were playing their first game of the season and they got no respite, though, as Tabish Hussain added two more and Cale Price made it 6-0 before half-time. Perhaps the academy felt some sympathy for their beleaguered opponents as they only added two more in the second, tricky winger Hussain converting a penalty on the hour for his own hat-trick before Joe Webster added the eighth just 5 minutes later. Dave Curry's young team now sit atop Division J of the National League Under-19 Alliance, unbeaten in four games, having scored 16 goals and are yet to concede. After a trip to Rochdale next week, the academy return to Nethermoor on October the 11th to take on South Shields. Earlier this year, Steve Taylor was appointed Community Development Manager for the GAFC Community Foundation, and I caught up with him just before Saturday's game against Dover.
How are you finding life in your new role?
It's good at the moment. We're just putting some projects in place, trying to get the funding in place to get these projects delivered to the community, looking at a few heart projects, health projects, and then getting into some schools and delivering these and to the local community, which hopefully they'll take off. But we just got to get the tick in the box with the funders at first. So that's what we're looking at the moment, and hopefully. By the end of this month, beginning of October, we should know whether we can start piloting them.
And are there any new incentives you're putting out there?
Yeah, the new project which will be launched at the Solihull game is going to be called the Lions Match Day Club. So we're going to be inviting local junior clubs to come in and spend the day at Nethermoor for a match day. That'll consist of meeting at probably about 11:30, 11:45. They'll get a training session with myself on the 3G, followed by a bite to eat in the clubhouse, then a tour of the dressing rooms, and then onto the pitch for a photo with a mascot and a new player ambassador. We'll just look, hopefully going to get that in place and launch the player ambassador in the next couple of days. Then the ultimate will be either doing the guard of honour or a player escort walking out with the players to do the respect handshake before the game. Hopefully, like I say, the flyer's all out. It's going to be promoted to local junior teams, and it will go out probably on Monday, so we're hoping to get people, get managers contacting myself. There is a cost to everything. It will be £10 per player. We're looking for a minimum of 15 players, but what the incentive is, we're trying to get parents through the door as well to come and come and watch the games, and every parent associated with that child doing the event will get in for the, will get into the game for a £5. So it's an incentive for so people to come through the door to watch the games.
But you're getting more of a match day experience
Yeah, we're getting more of a match day experience, and getting kids to come to Nethermoor. Obviously, at the moment we find out that Leeds are riding high, so there's a bit of a competition there. But we want people to come here and have a good experience of this level of football, and obviously make sure show them that the Guiseley door is always open, and there is football going off here and at a good standard.
If you're interested in booking on for the Lions Match Day Club, it's meant for junior football teams and other groups. It's perfect for a birthday celebration, for instance. It's a fantastic match day experience. If you'd like more information about it, though, please contact Steve Taylor. He's the Community Foundation Manager on 07939 221 231. Or you can email Steve. It's steve@gafccommunity.co.uk. Failing that, you can go to our website, which is guiseleyafc.co.uk, and follow the links for more information. And that'll do it for another episode of the Lions Roar. Thanks once again for downloading us. We'll be back next Friday with highlights of the Maidenhead and, of course, the Macclesfield game the next time the Lions are back at Nethermoor, which is Tuesday, the 3rd of October, for the visit of Macclesfield. Hopefully, we'll be able to report on some sort of win out of one of those two games, or ideally even both of them. The Maidenhead game will start at 3 p.m. on Saturday. If you can't make it down there, well, Guiseley Radio have you covered. We'll be on air at mixlr.com/Guiseley Radio from about 2:45. We're also covering the Macclesfield game, but you don't want to listen to us. Get yourself down to Nethermoor. It's a 7:45 kickoff on Tuesday, the 3rd of October. £15 to get in, plus there's concessions. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll see you in a week.
Shirts, five white shirts in the box as well, looking for any scraps. Rooney hits it, takes the flex, and it's got in! Guiseley take the lead. John Rooney hit it through the wall. It took a deflection off the wall, flighted well past Mitch Walker.